This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, we're back, and I am Glenn the Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
Listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 12th, episode 2245, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world. Is this your recording?
Yes.
I feel like I should clap.
I know. So that's a little bit of Scotland the Brave from the Royal Military Tattoo in Edinburgh, which is the main reason we went on our vacation. Just thought I'd share that with you. It was absolutely wonderful. Best part of the whole trip. But while I was gone, while we were both gone, the whole horse world falls apart.
It's just a mess. People are getting in trouble for all sorts of things from... I can't even name that. We can't even discuss those things on this show. Okay.
We're here to cheer you up. We're back. We're going to fix everything.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about happy, good, fun things because I don't want to talk about people shooting other people, people getting in trouble for all sorts of stuff. But we knew what's happening the whole time anyway. Okay. It's not going to happen. So moving on.
We're here to make your day happy again. It is good fun to be back. However, there's no live this week as apparently while I was on vacation, my live computer decided to quit altogether. So it did not revive and no loss there. It's about a 10-year-old Windows 7, so we knew it was going. So I ordered a new one that will be live next Monday. And also, I will only be here today. You'll have guest co-hosts because I'm one day home from vacation and off to Podcast Movement. Jimmy and I
Where
are
is
heading.
That?
That's in Orlando this year, thank God. It's right down the street. I don't have to fly again. So we'll be heading to that the rest of the week. Jimmy and I will be there representing, and it should be a lot of fun. So you'll be here, though. You'll be doing shows, and Karen's here tomorrow, so there'll be a full load of new shows this week. Also, one other quick thing. Happy anniversary to us. 11 years old, the Horse Radio Network is. Helene and I started it August the 8th of 2008. That was the first episode of Stable Scoop.
Wow.
And we've done a lot of shows. It's been over 8,000 episodes, over 11,000 guests on the Horse Radio Network. That's a lot. That's a whole lot and a ton of hours. So we did figure it out. It will take you 255 days. If you listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it'll take you 255 days to listen to all of our episodes.
Don't do that.
No.
Please.
We don't advise it.
If you're new, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us. This is the Weird Show. Other shows may discuss those sorts of news. This show, we just talk about things that are kind of like upbeat and funny, and we make fun of ourselves and we make fun of you. So that's kind of what we do.
That's right.
You know what? They make fun of themselves. They submit it. If equestrian first world problems today, I am like, I mean, the violins are tiny violins are playing for these people. Okay. Stick around.
We have that. We have Dr. Chang coming on with the nutrition segment, and he's going to talk to us about, I don't know what today. We're going to find out. It's a mystery. And then also, you're all going to be very excited because two regular contributors to the show in the past are coming back. We're going to have Devin Horn here, who, of course, we all remember from the Mongol Derby and all the other crazy stunts that she pulls. Well, she's coming back to give us a Mongol Derby report because we're 5 days in. So, and usually we cover that extensively, but because I was away, we couldn't. So she's going to get us all caught up to date as of today, what's going on. And cool. We'll have a winner here by Wednesday, probably. So we'll get caught up there. And then, yes, Leslie Wiley Bateman's coming back and she's going to kind of give us a life update, what's happening in her life and how the little baby is and what's going on. So we have all of that planned for you today. But as always, we start the day with a Daily Whinny. My Daily Whinny is to everybody who filled in for me, Sally, Debbie, Helena, all of your guest co-hosts while I was out. Did I miss anybody? I think that was everybody. And also, I wish one of these...
Happy birthday to you.
happy birthday to everybody we missed in the last 2 weeks. I'm giving you a blanket happy birthday. We're sorry we didn't read your names, but it was too many to go back. And 2 weeks worth of birthdays is a lot. So, but we will, today's birthdays, we will give to Christy West. Remember, Christy used to come on the show for thehorse.com years ago. It's her birthday today. Smokey Branneman. God, we haven't had Smokey on in a while, have we?
Time to get Smokey back.
Smokey's 60 today, so happy, and I know he listens to the show. Happy birthday, Smokey. Also, auditors Betty Fay and Rachel Sawinski. So happy birthday to all of you. And I want to give some love to Canada, because the Pan Ams also were going on. Just not enough going on in the horse world while we're gone. Jessica Phoenix and Pavarotti rode into equestrian history for Canada last weekend in Peru. They are the only Canadian equestrian duo to compete in 3 consecutive Pan American Games. She actually earned 5 consecutive Pan American medals. She finished 5th individually as Canada's top ranking pair. Together, Phoenix and Pavarotti have competed in 5 major games, including 3 consecutive Pan Ams, leading the Canadian eventing team to 3 team medals, silver, bronze, and bronze, and earning 2 individual medals, gold and silver. So congratulations to those 2. She's also
a regular
guest. What is
that horse having? I want what that horse has.
I know. Staying power.
What is he getting? Because he seems, I wake up creaky and I don't do anything.
Do you remember though, when she first got that horse years ago, she really had trouble with cross country with that horse. But now, apparently that's been fixed. And she's doing quite well. And we
I'd
love
also
Jessica,
like to ride with her. I'd like lessons. Thank
you. Yeah. She is adorable and also a really, really good rider. So congratulations to Canada and to Jessica Phoenix.
Well, speaking of eventing, I'd like to give my daily Winnie to Baby Groot, who did his first ever horse trial this weekend. Actually, if you want to break it down, it was kind of his first ever dressage test, time in a dressage ring, more time than actually he's never jumped more than 2 jumps in a row. So I just threw the book at him this weekend and went to see what he did. The horse trial was 3 miles away. So how fantastic is it that it's 3 miles away? You would think I would just take him home at night, but no, I was like, sucker, you are going to stable. You are going to get the whole show experience because his name is Lost My Way. At some point, he's going to go to the Thoroughbred Makeover and he's got to get used to all of these lifestyle choices that we're going to make for him.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, he's not making the choices. Yeah,
I know. I had to stop myself. So we went in and we did, oh gosh. Okay. So actually on Friday, we did the future event horse with baby Zara, and she got led around into triangle and came in 2nd place. And I would like you to know who got 1st place. Do you want to guess?
No, I don't have any idea.
If I could drop the F-bomb, I would. Freaking Black Colt. Okay. A Black Colt got 1st. Enjoy that. My little red filly got 2nd.
That's just like rubbing it in your face.
And I saw him come out and I was like, oh God, he's so pretty. And then he like trots off like a dream. I'm like, oh, that's the one I wanted. But anyway, baby Zara did great. She got 2nd place. So the baby Groot came out and did his dressage test. And you know, it's not...
Let me clarify. It wasn't 2nd place out of 2 horses. There were more.
No. There were more horses
okay.
than that one.
Just okay. clarify. I've learned to ask you that over the years.
You should have learned not to ask because usually it's 2nd out of 2. So she was not 2nd out of 2. I think there was like 7 in her division. So she did really well.
That's really good.
Well, she's so pretty. Like confirmationally, she's put together perfect. She just behavior-wise, she was like screaming the whole. I mean, she'd never been anywhere either. She's like the one trotting and whinnying, you know.
Did she destroy her stall?
She didn't go in a stall.
Oh,
she just came and it was just one little section, and then she went home. Okay. And then I brought baby Groot back because I was 3 miles away. Why not?
Yeah.
So then I brought Groot out for dressage, and you know, it's not the tests; it's the dang warm up. It was he's been there before. It's not chaos. It's just a field. And he's like going crazy. And so I took him in for the test. And of course, he did his best Groot impression, which is look like a giant tree. So we ended up in third after dressage, which was shot. But I was riding in the intro division, which is cross rails and like 18 inches. And basically, I was competing against a woman who was in her 70s and the rest were children.
Yeah, they're like seven riding ponies.
Yeah. Yeah. Like pigtails. And then like this like sweet old lady on a pony. And then there's me on a giant tree. So he did that, and then we had to do show jumping, and that's where things got really scary, because that warm-up was pretty crazy, and he was just a mess in the warm-up, and Chad was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to scratch? What are you going to do? I was like, this horse does not scare me. He just was a baby thoroughbred, you know, and I had to trot him in circle, because he was just so tweaked out about everything, and all the announcer booths and the jumps and all the colors and all the flowers. And it was just real. And there was the way that it is, it's up against a road. So one side of it was lined with people. And so he was just completely freaked out by that. And so I had somebody, I was like, can you lead me in if I need somebody to lead me in? So I had a standby lead.
Wait a minute. My finger's getting itchy.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be that girl. I was for real that girl in show jump warm up. I mean, for real. And so my mother-in-law and father-in-law came, because again, it's 3 miles from everybody, you know, where we live. And they just stood off to the side, like talking to Chad under the tree. And apparently they were like, she's going to get hurt. What are you going to do when she gets hurt?
This is really their first time watching you, isn't it?
First time watching me. And Chad was like, listen, she's used to this. What happens is she gets them to where they're like totally perfect. And then she sells them. And she does this again.
I always wondered that about Jennifer, too. It's like, this horse is just getting good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what we do. Some of us like the pain. So I took him in for the actual course, where he's never really jumped a painted pole or done more than two jumps in a row. And he was awesome. He was awesome. He like stepped in there when he was by himself. He was focused. He kind of looked a little bit, but then went on and jumped. He really likes to jump. And he was just fantastic. I did make him trot every fence, because we haven't cantered fences yet. Why not take him to a horse trial? Sure. Haven't cantered fences yet. And he was great.
So you weren't a jump crew nightmare?
No, he went completely clean.
Wow.
Okay. Clean. We had some time penalties. I didn't even know they were timing intro, but we trotted and we jumped and we landed in Canada.
Intro?
Apparently. There was no time on cross country though, so we're going to be fine there. So cross country morning, I'm like, okay, I'm either going to have the crazy horse or he's going to be so tired. So when I brought him back after show jumping, I put him in a stall and I went and walked my course, and I came back and he was in the stall, passed out, laying down like he was dead. He's so tired. And so yesterday morning I rode at 7:30, which was great because there wasn't a ton of people in the warm up, and I took him out and I was like, oh God, what am I going to have? Dude, that horse went off like a dang pro. He did not look at anything twice in the warm-up. He like warmed up like a normal horse. He was one of those. And people were like, is that the same horse you had yesterday? I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't get it. He's really
tired. That's what a day's experience will do.
Exactly. You can't. You just can't manufacture the experience that you actually get at a proper horse show. So he went out and did cross country, and there's a big wooden footbridge you can go around, but I was like, let's try walking across the wooden clip clop bridge. Walked over the bridge, went out, was completely bug-eyed when we got on the course, you know, and he goes into the start box and took off, and that dang horse pulled me to every fence and tried to pull me some bigger ones too. So he loved it. And we galloped in a field for the first time. Like, you're just little like, okay, gallop, buddy. And I come off the finish. I go around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And there was a jump judge hiding in the trees that scared me and didn't scare the horse. It was amazing. He did so great. And so after like fence 3, you're supposed to go to just on down to fence 4. But in between fence 3 and fence 4, over on the side is the water jump. And I was like, well, hell, they're not timing it. So I jumped fence 3 and I hooked left and went like 25 yards behind me and schooled him through the water just because I had the opportunity, and went right through the muddy, gross water thing, like no problem, and cantered on down, and we finished the whole course. And it was just an awesome experience. We came off and we come across the finish line, and two people met me like, is he for sale?
Really?
Yes. And I was
screw
like,
that
this
black
is,
horse.
This is my makeover horse. He'll be for sale at the makeover. And one was like, really? Because I'm interested in him now. And the other woman was like, I'm going to the makeover. So the one I gave him both my phone number and make me an offer you can't refuse.
Well, that doesn't happen to you too often.
No, and nobody ever buys an intro level horse. No. What? So anyway,
they only saw him in cross country. They didn't see him the day before.
Well, exactly. And so I said, well, to be fair, I did post a video of his show jumping and everything like on the Facebook page. So you can go look at it and see that I was like kind of chronicled his journey. Go look at all of it and then let me know because it's a really fancy barn in Brentwood, Tennessee that was looking for a fox hunter. And I was like, oh wow. That'd be perfect.
Well, that'd be good. So anyway, he loves cross country.
Yeah. I think he'd be a great fox hunter. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But nobody's ever complimented me on having a green baby at a horse trough. So
no, usually it's a freaking nightmare and they're trying to get out of your way.
Usually they're like, you need to move somewhere else. Yeah. You're scaring all the other horses. Yeah, and Chad is like, why do you do this to yourself? You get them perfectly trained and then you sell them. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's like, I don't really love competing. It's a goal, but I like the journey more than I like the actual goal. And when you do compete, it's for me, it's a place to take them further in their education. Now, some people love to take themselves further in their education, and that's awesome. I think it's fantastic. There was one girl that had never done a horse trial that was in the intro, and can we go out and watch our daughter ride? I'm like, yeah. And I just answered people's questions, and it was just really an educational experience for Groot and for all the other intro people that are starting their eventing careers. And it was just really, really, really fun. Great weekend. Again, it's the Feather Creek Horse Trials. It was hot as balls. Like, I cannot believe how hot it was. I rode at 1:30. It was 97 degrees with like 60% humidity. They waved jackets and people were still wearing their jackets. What is wrong with you? Take your coat off. You're going to pass out.
After spending 2 weeks in the UK and coming home to Florida, I thought I was going to die when I got off the airplane.
Really?
So we were wearing jackets every morning. It was chilly there.
Oh, I didn't tell you, by the way, what happened at the end.
Yeah.
You want to know how he placed?
Yeah.
Do you remember I told you about the award called the DFL Award? It's an award in eventing that it means you finished with a number and not a letter. Okay. So if you finish with a letter, that's like an E elimination, withdrawal. So there's RF, ride or fall. So you have to finish with a number, and DFL means dead freaking last. And I would like to announce that BB Groot and I got the DFL Award. Woo-hoo! We finished in dead freaking last, but I did get a ribbon because there's only four of us in the class. So we got our fourth place ribbon out of four.
Hey, you didn't come off. You survived. He was a good boy.
No, I just, again, my little motto on these baby horses is stay in and stay on. Stay in the course, which, by the way, I think one of the strangest things happened at this horse trial. And we'll get to your vacation. I'm sorry. I'm just bubbling with excitement. So I'm loading up baby Groot and I've got him about to go into the trailer, and I hear screaming and I hear yelling and I hear cars and I'm like, oh, this is not good. I hear like a four wheeler and it goes zipping by down the driveway as I'm pointed towards the exit, you know, to load him. And all of a sudden I see a freaking horse galloping outside the complex down the road. And again, this is
every
like
horse show.
Galloping down the road, but the horses can't get out because it's cattle guards and everything. But this horse is fully tacked up. So apparently what happened, because the cross country course, the very end of it goes up to the road, but there's a fence, a big wire fence that goes across it. Apparently the girl got bucked off and the horse took down the top wire, but apparently it's okay. Took down the top wire and jumped out of the facility. It was like, I am out of here. I am not doing this anymore. And went running up the road. So it apparently got so far away from the showgrounds, they had to trailer it back. They took a trailer out. There was like cars and people running and all this. And eventually everybody just got in the back of a truck and like zipped down the road. A truck and trailer follows. They go all the way up there. Apparently they had to like yard it and like load it back up and bring it home. And
oh God, that poor girl. How embarrassed was she?
I would like to point out that I was not that girl.
No.
So give me an anti that girl, because my horse stayed in
the. How about we just give her that girl?
Whoever you are. I wanna be that girl.
Well, that all sounded like it relatively went pretty well.
I was super thrilled. Again, it was just a great, it's just a great learning experience for him. And I feel like I did a very justifiably well job riding him and showing him and introducing him to all of it. So I feel like I did well. I feel like he did well. Yeah, I was that girl, but it was just part of the experience. And everybody knows there's that girl on that crazy horse at the horse trial, and usually me.
Well, and you know what? I think October is going to be the first time in all these years that Jennifer and I have seen you ride in person at a show.
Oh my God.
We've never seen you ride at a show.
You've never seen me ride. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. So this will be the first time in October. Yeah. But I mean, in a show, no, that'll be fun.
Oh yeah. No stress. By the way, I went intro, and there's one horse trial here before the makeover. So then I'm going to move up to starter, which is 2 feet. And then at the makeover, let's jump it up to beginner novice 227. Why not? So we're definitely skipping up the
a few steps. Yeah,
a few steps. We're skipping about.
Well, you know, I won't pick on you about anything. You know.
Oh
that.
Yeah, because no. You're so gentle. You're like such a kind soul. You're such a jerk. I'm going to be more nervous because you're there going to make fun of me.
I would not do it right at the event. I'll wait till
please,
after.
Please, Baby Groot, sell before the makeover. Please sell before the makeover.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm just going to give you a little bits of vacation here between guests, but were you a Downton Abbey fan?
We've talked about this. I am so sad to say that I fell asleep in the first episode.
Yeah.
12 but, different times.
But we have a lot of listeners who are Downton Abbey fans. A lot
I know.
Of
I would love to watch it. I love stuff like that. I just, for some reason, it just lulls me to sleep.
Well, we had an opportunity. We took a bus tour one of the days we were in London. Out, by the way, you're right about traffic in London. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't want to drive there. I'm sorry. I couldn't drive.
You can't walk. You can't walk anywhere either.
No,
you can't
hit
by car.
And then they have roundabouts everywhere, and you're going on the wrong side. And for 2 weeks, I didn't stop flinching at all the Uber drivers who I thought were going to get us killed going the wrong direction. Still never got used to it. But we did take a bus tour out to Downton Abbey, and we actually stopped, for all the watchers of the show, we actually stopped at a little town where they filmed the town scenes, which is about an hour from Highclere Castle. So they're about an hour apart. And the little town was so cute. We got to go in the church where the funerals and weddings happened. That was really neat. It was actually one of my favorite churches on the whole trip. But the little town was cool, and they have little Downton Abbey stores where they're selling stuff. They're aww, definitely making money off this deal. And then we take the bus and we go to Highclere Castle, and that
is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. You get to walk the whole grounds. They have all the gardens, and they have things set up around the grounds, and you can see the castle from there's 600 acres there, so it's huge.
Do people live there?
Yes, there's a couple that lives there, and they raised their family there. And she wrote a book about being the real, I think it's the Countess of Downton Abbey or whatever she is, whatever her title is, lady. And they give the book away when you take these tours. So Jennifer was reading it. But a lot of the book talks about things that happened in the real Highclere Castle, and they really mimic. He took the story of Downton Abbey from a lot of things that happened. But it was so cool. What was really cool is to see the rooms that we've seen so often in the show over all those years, and that's to see them in person. Some things seem bigger and some things seem smaller. So it was really neat to see that. And for all the Downton Abbey fans, if you go to England, you got to go to Highclere Castle. They're very warm and welcoming to all the... It was a good tour. It was really well done.
That's cool. I mean, I'd like to pick on you for geeking out about a TV show and the filming locations, but when I have gone to Hawaii, I always scout out the filming locations for Lost.
So there you go.
Such a fan.
It's
and I'm
true.
Like, oh my God, this is where Jack saw that island of the thing, and then the rabbit came. I don't know. I just go crazy. So yeah, I get it. And it's really cool. It just because TV shows are very personal to you because you watch them in your home. And so it's much different than a movie a movie location.
I think so too, actually. And you spend years with them. That's the other thing. With the movie, it's once and done. But you spend years with these people in this place, right? And this,
although I have spent years with Jim Craig on the side of the mountain in Australia because I've watched it for 35 years. So I get it. I mean, but you're right. Actually, I read an interview with it was like during ER, and it was an interview with George Clooney. And he's like, he'll be traveling with Brad Pitt, and people will see Brad Pitt and George Clooney, and they'll run up to George Clooney because they feel like they know him, but they don't run up to Brad Pitt because he's a movie star. And that's so strange.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was a while ago.
I think that truly is the difference between TV and it also is like us. People feel like we met listeners while we were over there. We had dinner with listeners. So, and they, first thing they said when they sat down is, I feel like we know you guys already, you know? So I think it's the same way kind of with what we do, especially
Let me
the Daily
give you
Show.
Guys a piece of advice when you feel like you know us. You do. But we don't know you, so tell us everything about yourself.
Well, that's what ended up happening. We asked 1,000 questions about them, and that was really cool. That was neat to do. We did a bunch of other stuff in London too. We were there for 4 days. We had this great Airbnb. I think you saw the picture. I posted pictures from
that. Oh my God. It was amazing.
It was beautiful. We had a penthouse overlook, and it was cheaper than getting 2 hotel rooms in London, which would cost you about $8,000. Mm-hmm. But it was beautiful. I got to go to Tower of London, and that was kind of personal for me in a way because I played King Henry III for 10 years in the acting company, and we picked that king because nobody knew anything about him. He was one of those kings that was kind of in between other kings. But in the Tower of London, his bedrooms are there. He's the one that built that part, and his bedrooms were there. So the bedrooms that are represented in the Tower of London were the king that I played. So that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool to see that. But Tower of London was definitely one of my favorite, and also because they had lots of armor and cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We never made it there because it was 3 miles from where we were, but I was like, it's going to take us 3 hours to get there. So.
Oh, and then if you didn't get there first thing in the morning, you were waiting in lines all day. You had to be there when it opened. The lines were just incredible. We got lucky. We got there when it opened. And then we did the eye. Did you do the eye when you were there?
No, I don't do things like that.
Oh my God. It was
beautiful. Married a fighter pilot and I don't do.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. It really was cool. But now we're going to head over to our first guest. Dr. Chang is coming from Omega Alpha as he does every month talking about something. We're going to find out what here in just a sec.
I would like to welcome to the show, Dr. Chang. Good morning.
Hey, Jamie, how are you? Nice to be back.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. So I know we didn't have, Glenn keeps saying we didn't have anything scheduled to talk about. So I'm just going to pick your brain if that's okay with you. Is that cool?
It might be slim pickings, but go on.
All right. Well, so I have a horse that is pointed to the Thoroughbred Makeover, and that's in October. And obviously it's August, the beginning of August now. So he has to have a body score of a 4, I believe. And he's just one of those horses that I'm just feeding and feeding and feeding. And he's just a 4-year-old baby thoroughbred. He's grown 2 inches in the last 9 months. I mean, he's just really growing up. And I just can't seem to, I don't know if I'll ever cover his ribs, but I just can't seem to get him to really look thrifty. So I would like to go like start to finish with Omega Alpha and Dr. Chang's brain to figure out from now until then, what are the things that I can do? And our listeners too have had some questions about this to put weight on the horse. What does it take?
One of the things the first thing that comes to my mind is that horses, if everything is good with their intestinal tract, they will put on weight. Right, you know about the easy keepers, etc., where they just look at food and they put on weight. Then you have the racehorse. Sometimes, you know, they have ulcers, they have hindgut ulcers, they have colonic ulcers, and sometimes you can be putting food down their gut, and they just don't seem to put on weight. One of the first things I would do is probably use a good probiotic. All right, and what the probiotic will do, it'll help normalize the gut flora in the gut, in the hindgut, and also in the colon, all along the GI tract, and with gut-friendly bacteria. And basically, what that would do, if you help normalize the gut, it's a step towards healing the gut. All right, And if it's a step towards healing the gut, then the foods are then more easily digested. It's then absorbed. You get a bigger absorption, etc. So that in itself would cause your horse to put on weight. Next thing you have to look at is sometimes a lot of horses, as I said, they will have ulcers. So you have to deal with the ulcers. Now, we have several products that we have found very effective in dealing with ulcers. One of the best ones is Regenerec. For those who have used it, they will tell you how good it is. Unfortunately, it is not inexpensive, right? But it's a lot cheaper than I would say some of the pharmaceutical competitors that we have there. I just won't mention any of them.
But, oh my gosh! If you want to do, I will. So if you want to do an entire dose of like Gastrogard, it will cost you, and ask me how I know, $1,200. So I feel like Regenerec probably will come in under that.
It definitely does. Okay. A full month of double dosing will probably run you $400, but maintenance will run you $200, right? For a month, right? At the maintenance dose level. But what people have seen is that it actually promotes the healing. We have several clinical studies that actually show healing of stomach ulcers. And we have some good evidence now to show that even the colonic ulcers are being healed. So, you know, and these are clinical studies that we've conducted. So we know it works, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, let me also jump in here and say that I just read another study that's saying omeprazole leaches calcium out of the horse's bones. And so they're having a lot of racehorse breakdowns and things like that, potentially because of the calcium being leached out because of the omeprazole.
Yeah. You know, that is probably true, but again, there are things that people can do to mitigate some of that. You can increase your calcium, magnesium, mineral intake. Again, Omega Alpha has a product called Minerec, which you can use to do that. I was just going to say, the whole point of this is not to bash the competition like that, but one of the biggest problems I have with omeprazole is when people take it, they don't give it to their horse short term. They want to give it to their horse long term. The biggest problem with long term use of omeprazole is that what happens with it is that it inhibits acid release. And anytime you inhibit acid release in the stomach, right, that's how the stomach will heal. But the biggest problem with that is that it allows all the mycoplasmas, all the fungus, all the bad bacteria to gain access to the hindgut. Mm-hmm. And to the colon. So what you're basically doing is setting yourself up for bigger troubles later on, because if you have hindgut issues, it's a lot more difficult to deal with, right? So, but omeprazole for short-term use, wonderful product. Can't say enough about it. But long-term, you just have to be extra careful with that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But one other thing I want to go on about, too, is that one of the problems with horses, especially if they're in competition, is stress. And one of the things that we have that deals fairly well with stress is a product called Endurogen, all right? And what that does, it has herbs in there like ginseng, ashwagandha, and so on. And what those herbs do, they have what's called adaptogenic properties. It helps the animal deal with the level of stress, all right? And so because it helps deal with the amount of stress, the horse recovers. Performs much better under stressful conditions, right? But the only thing with this product is you got to take use according to directions, because sometimes with ginseng is that one of the things that it does, it might make the horse extra flighty or aggressive, just because it's like. It will work like a cup of coffee in the morning. If you've never had a coffee in your life and I give you a double espresso, you're bouncing off the walls, right? If I give you a single espresso, you probably just get that extra lift, right? And this is what I want to do. Again, because I use the word coffee, there's no caffeine in there. There's nothing that will give you a positive drug test.
Right. Okay. So I'm looking at Enduraforce, Endurogen here on my, I have like a booklet on all your things. And, you know, we also do have a lot of people that ask me how we can pick up the horse's energy levels, and Endurogen sounds like that would be something that would help.
Definitely.
So that's great.
Yeah, Endurogen and also the Enduroforce, especially during a hot day in the competition, etc. You know, everybody's energy is flagging. You know, you just need a little extra oomph. That's a nice way to do it.
That's cool. But, I didn't know about that one. Yeah. So learn something new. So as far as keeping on weight, we're going to start with Biotic 8. And just good because I have lots of that. I'm going to give Biotic 8 to Baby Groot. And then he's already had the omeprazole ulcer treatment. I've had him have he's been checked out by the vet and he's got no ulcers. So he just has like that high energy, high metabolism. So after Biotic 8, what is the next thing I want to do?
I would say after you give him Biotic 8, also last but not least, give him a regenerative treatment,
right.
a double dose on it for at least about a month. And the reason you want to do that is because you can do a scope and you can see the ulcers, stomach ulcers. But if you're looking at hindgut ulcers, it's much more difficult to detect and it's much more difficult to treat. Right. And so omeprazole might work very well with the stomach ulcers, but it, as far as the hindgut ulcers, etc., goes, it's not that great.
Okay,
right.
Perfect. So Biotic 8, Regenerec, and then I think
Him some Endurogen to help, because that will help with the stress levels.
Okay.
And so it helps the horse adapt to the increased stresses. And that in itself will probably help increase appetite.
Okay.
And I know for a lot of people, they will say, well, my horse eats like a horse, not to make a joke of it. So it eats well, but it still doesn't put on weight. And last but not least, I think what you should try and do also, give them, try to do another deworming. Yeah, like a parasite cleanse. We have a very good parasite cleanse. It's a broad spectrum parasite cleanse. Now, I know a lot of times with the deworming, what's been happening with the dewormers is that everybody's saying that the worms, the parasites, are getting used to the modern dewormers, mm-hmm. right? Whereas this product, because it's a blend of different herbs, it's a very wide spectrum of parasite cleanse you should use.
Wow. Is it the Para-X? The intestinal cleansing formula. Dang, I want to take that too. Let's get it all out. That's great. So Para-X, so is my final one. Okay, well, like Dr. Chang, I've got some shopping to do, it looks like.
Well, go forth and shop.
You know what? I need that on a t-shirt. Go forth and shop. That is what you should sell those with your products.
No, if I say that and your husband was to hear that, he'd probably say, no, don't tell her that.
Yeah, I'll be like, go buy a golf club, just whatever. let me go forth and shop. All right, you heard it here, people. Go forth and shop from Dr. Chang, Omega Alpha Equine. Again, that's probably the best advice you've given us. So you can find a retailer or a store near you. Go to omegaalpha.com and click on the Where to Buy tab. Dr. Chang, as always, it has been a pleasure and an education.
Pleasure is all mine.
Thank you, Dr. Chang.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, Dr. Chang was enlightening as usual. But right now, talk about lightning. We're going to go over to Devin Horn. I had a chance to catch up with her first thing this morning. We call her Daredevil Devin because she always does some daredevil stuff. And she's done the Mongol Derby several times, and one was 2 years ago. She's following it in depth this year, and she's going to give us a report on where everything is and how everybody is doing. Well, here for an update on the Mongol Derby, which we have not covered at all because of vacation, but it's like 5 days in now, and this is very weird because for the last couple of years, I've been doing nightly shows and all caught up, and now I know nothing because I haven't even looked at it, but there is somebody here who's been on in the past, who's helped me do this coverage in the past, who knows all about it, and that's Devin Horn. Hi, Devin.
Hi, Glenn. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for following it and keeping everybody up to date this year. I guess we're slackers, so you're picking up the slack.
Yeah, well, I really don't have a choice anyway. I feel this compulsion to obsessively research the Derby every year, even though I am now retired. So I've been posting updates on my Facebook page and keeping everybody everybody abreast of what's going on. And then, of course, dealing with families who private message me and say, hey, what is this being? What is this doing? Where is he going? All that good stuff this year. So
Well, I'm glad you're doing it. I've been reading your updates. It's the only thing I've really had time to read, actually. So kind of give us, before we go into who's leading right now and where we're at right now, kind of give us your impressions of the first several days of this year and how it's played out.
Right. So we've just wrapped up day 6 of the Mongol Derby. And as you know, their riders were given 10 days to finish. We started out with 45 riders 6 days ago. We had two immediate people retire on the first day, which everyone for a little bit was nervous that that was going to be a trend and we were going to end up with like 5 finishers this year. But ever since the first day, we've held out pretty strong. We've had a few people medical evac to Ulaanbaatar to get medical coverage, but they've been able to re-enter the field into the adventure category, which is the non-competitive part of the Derby. So we've been really lucky with injuries so far. We had a broken nose, a couple shoulder injuries, one or two dehydrations that required a hospital stay. But other than that, we've been real good. And we still have, I think the number right now is 42 people on the field.
Wow, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
We do have quite a few people who are riding the cutoff right now. I think we have a pack of 8 riders who are in jeopardy of being moved forward in order to allow them to finish within the 10 days.
And that will put them in the adventure category automatically then, right?
Absolutely, yeah. They've done a really good job of making sure that the they have a chance to finish. But, you know, they did what they can. They're spread over 7 stations right now, and it's kind of wreaking havoc on the crew.
Yeah.
My years in the past, they haven't allowed them to range over more than 3 or 4 stations, and right now they have people 7 stations apart.
Wow. So what about weather? You know, weather's always a factor in this. It goes from hot to cold to rainy to miserable. So how's this year been?
Well, they got their bad stuff out of the way right off the bat. They had 2 days of really cold temperatures, hyperthermia, shivering with pouring rain. And then on day 3, it evened out. So
now, this is a new track this year, right? Is a new...
Kind of. It's actually really similar to this track that I did last year. The first maybe 80% of it is essentially the same.
Okay.
So good. If you're dot tracking, it'll look really familiar.
Got it. So what kind of terrain, have you having done this particular track last year, what kind of terrain are they going over and under?
Well, it's really interesting because it's river valleys dotted with mountains and bogs and lots of really good opportunities for people to misnavigate. And they're not giving them a race line this year. So they've had to navigate literally on their own with nothing but their wits and their GPS waypoints. And it's made dot watching this year so fun to see on the Google Maps because you've got a topographical layout and you can see, okay, they're trying to go around this mountain. That's not going to work, but they don't know that. And this is really fun.
So in years past, you were kind of given, okay, this is the suggested route, and this year they're not doing that. You just got to get to the next point.
Exactly right. And I've done a couple of years like that, but ever since I think it was in 2014, they had people so lost that they lost it like an entire 24-hour period. So they instituted this to make it a little bit easier, and then this year they said, okay, I think everyone's got a handle on what the Derby is. Let's go back to the original format. And I'm loving it. It's so fun for spectators, and it's so fun for the riders, too.
That's why I did only looked at the dots once yesterday morning, and there were some dots that seemed way off track. And that's why, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch, because, of course, as you get more tired, navigation becomes more difficult. And if you're out there on your own, there's nobody to, like, second-guess your navigation decisions. And so it's pretty fun.
I did see some posts about, and we're going to get into who's leading and all of that here in a second, but I did see some posts about day 3, and you posted about day 3. Day 3 seems to be the over-the-hump day. You know, you either do or you don't.
Exactly. Day 3 is just when everything kind of sets in. The adrenaline wears off, the sore muscles start really getting sore, all the chafing opens up, and it's just kind of a hell day. And most of Mongol Derby veterans agree that if a person can kind of get past day 3, and have a strong day 4, the likelihood of them finishing and not, you know, going out for exhaustion is pretty high. So that's kind of like the hurdle that you have to jump is get through that day 3, get it all out. And then I'm not going to say it's easier downhill from there, but at least you kind of have an idea of how bad it can get. And then you can, you know, plan accordingly.
Yeah, I've heard the same about marathons. I guess they say, what is it, 13 or 14 miles? You get across that, you're probably going to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a hump or a wall. Yeah. And once you get past it, it's much better.
So where are we at? What are we looking at leaderboard-wise? And boy, there is one big surprise this year, isn't there?
Yes. So going into the Derby, I had a couple people that I had my eye on that maybe, you know, could do really well. One of those was Aaron Nagel, who unfortunately hit like 7 kilometers out on the first day and fell off her horse and broke her nose and got a concussion.
Oh, well, that so doesn't help.
No, really doesn't. No. So she's in the adventure category. She's still riding with her broken nose, but she's who I expected to be out front right now, and that's not happening. I had Frank Winters, who's a cowboy from the Panhandle of Texas, who came down and trained a few days with me. And I wanted him to also be, you know, kind of in the front pack. And he is. He's running, I think, 5th right now. But the big surprise this year, and I would never put any money on it, and I, you know, may actually still lose money on this, is that the race is currently being led at like 700 kilometers in on day 6 by 71-year-old Robert Long. Who is a cowboy. He's a quarter horse trainer, no endurance experience, and just killing it. And he has about, I'm going to say like a 25-kilometer lead on the chasing pack. It's crazy.
What's been his trek? I mean, 71, I think they said he's the oldest to be leading?
Yes, he is not only the oldest leader, but if he finishes, he will be the oldest finisher in the Derby history.
Wow.
And his secret is, yeah, he's a really good rider. Yeah, he's a really good horseman. But his navigation is on point, Glenn. Anytime that I'm watching him and looking at the decisions, he's making every decision I would have made. He has had very, very few legs in which I'm like, oh, my God, where is he going? He just seems to have a real knack for navigating and picking a really good, straight, fast path. So that is what's helping him tremendously.
Now, we all know with we're looking at 1 or 2 days left.
Yeah. I think the forecast is for them to finish early day 8.
Which will be Wednesday our time?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, as we all know, anything can happen. One bad horse and it changes everything.
Exactly. And for the majority of the Derby, Bayette has been riding with other riders. Not just the Derby segment. So we will see if any of that crickety old age catches up to them and causes them any slips. But I don't know. He's been really good for the UK race so far. And of course, Facebook and the Mongolians themselves are going crazy over this guy because he's just so unlikely, and he's got such a commanding lead right now.
Yeah, geez, that's incredible. Makes me not feel so old now.
I know. I've got to rewrap it.
You know, you retired. That doesn't mean you can't come back at 70, Devin.
I know, right? There's like a Rocky comeback here.
You have a few years for that. A few years for that. Well, this is great. Where can people continue to follow the updates that you're doing?
Absolutely. So the Adventurous website is, those are the people who put on the Derby. They have a live tracking option, which is where we're following the GPS maps overlaid with the geography and everybody racing across the set. And that's like the primo watching. Other than that, Mongol Derby on Twitter is the place to go for updates and little anecdotes, pictures. They've also got an active Instagram this year, which is great. They're doing daily stories, which is awesome. And then, of course, the Mongol Derby Facebook page.
Very good. And then, of course, your Facebook page as well.
Yes, of course. If you'd rather not go crazy trying to follow all of those sources that I just named, if you follow me, Texas Hemo Jim or Devin Horn, Devin with an A, on Facebook, I summarize everything daily. I've had a lot of people who are really don't have the time or the wherewithal that I put into it that are kind of happy that I'm doing all the crazy work for them.
And are you making those?
Impression, I can't help it.
Are you making those posts public so anybody can see them?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that's terrific. Thank you for doing that. And it's so much fun. All I've been doing is following your updates because it's all I've had time to do. That's all I was allowed to do on vacation, to be honest, or I was pending divorce. So so I appreciate you doing it. And good job. Thanks, Devin.
Yeah, no problem, Glenn. Like I said, I'll be glued to the screen for the next 4 days. So if you have any other questions, pop over to Facebook and hit me up.
American Robert Long, 71 years old. Keep going.
Well, one thing over the weekend that I realized when I was having a very fractious off the track thoroughbred and dressage was something that I invested in, and it is the Total Saddle Fit Stirrup Leathers. Dude, Glenn, I mean, I sat down in there. Granted, I'm like, you know, got my full seat britches on and everything, and I sit down in there and I didn't move. I didn't move. And he was crazy. I never once felt unstable. It's Total Saddle Fit Stirrups. Okay. What they are, they have a wide body design. I don't know. Again, I've said this before, what black magic is that makes that happen, but the wide body design makes your leg incredibly stable. And it's like really wide, and so it's smoother on the flap, which under your leg, it does, you don't feel your leathers under your leg. This is one of those commercials, Glenn, that if non-horse people, if I was to like talk about this to non-horse people, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right?
No. Because they're like, no leathers under your leg. What are you talking? But it makes sense to those of us who ride. And it's so strange to talk about. But like the portion of the leathers, it just wraps around the stirrup bar, and they're really thin, and you don't feel that bulkiness under your leg. So I really, really, really like these for my dressage, and I'm dying to try them for my jump saddle. So I need to start saving up. But they are guaranteed to improve your ride. This is the cool thing. There is no risk in buying these, and I sound like an infomercial, but seriously, there's no risk because they're guaranteed to improve your ride, or they will pay shipping both ways. So you buy them and they send them to you, and if you don't like them, within 30 days, you send them back and they will pay for the shipping and you get your money back. So there's really no reason to not try it. Again, you can visit totalsaddlefit.com to get your pair now. Totalsaddlefit.com.
So I got to tell you, before we talk to Leslie and get all caught up, so excited. We haven't talked to her in months, it seems like. And I'm so excited to get caught up on what's going on in her life. And then we have some first world problems to do at the end of the show. The second half of our trip, we went from England and we went over to Edinburgh. Now, we went to Edinburgh. Our whole trip was designed around tickets that we bought to the Royal Military Tattoo. Which, if you don't know what a tattoo is, it's a gathering of military bands, especially bagpipe bands and drummers and
yeah, I didn't know what a tattoo was. I wouldn't have known to go find this over there.
Well, we've seen one. We used to, you know, Fairhill, Maryland, where they do the horse trials there. They have a very large tattoo there as well. So that's well-known Highland Games and tattoo there at Fairhill, which is how we knew about it years ago. And then, so the Royal Military Tattoo is the largest one. It's held, they actually put bleachers up, cost them $1.5 million to put these bleachers up every year in the courtyard of Edinburgh Castle, overlooking the whole city. Wow. So it's spectacular where the setting is. And the castle, you saw the pictures, the castle's right there. And they have fireworks coming out of the castle and all kinds of stuff. And they had bands and performers from 10 countries there.
Unbelievable.
It is really cool. There's always a couple parts in a tattoo where all the performers come together. They all play together. So there's hundreds down there playing together. So imagine 100 bagpipers and the drummers and all of that playing together. And then they have an orchestra, they have a child's choir, and it's just incredible to see. We had a beautiful night. It stopped raining, which is rare there, we learned, in Scotland. So it stopped raining just for the entire show. It was absolutely glorious. The fireworks went off.
Who did they pay?
I don't know. But the next night, the four people that were there, we actually knew some people that had come over for it. The next night, they got soaked. It just poured. I can't imagine the performers. But yeah, so it was spectacular. I mean, when you hear 100 bagpipes together playing at a medieval castle, you know, it's pretty cool. Wow. And then, of course, the fans come from all over the world. They were saying where fans were from. They were from literally all over the world. And so it was a very international audience. And they all come for that show. You buy your tickets. I had to get on the minute they went on sale. It's only for 20 days in August. I bought the tickets. And the whole trip was planned around those tickets. So everybody does the same thing. And some people go every year. I would go back. That was definitely the highlight of the whole trip for me. But Edinburgh, at the same time, is the Fringe Festival. Now, the Fringe Festival is an interesting thing. It's a whole ton, like 1,000 different performers and performances that goes on all over the city at different venues, including right down the Royal Mile, which is down from Edinburgh Castle. It's the main street downhill. Trust me, all of Edinburgh's up and downhill. Goes down the hill, so street performers, there's performers in little stages, and let me tell you, there's some weird stuff. It's called the Fringe Festival for a reason. It's a lot of it's very fringe, and some of it quite adult. But 500,000 people come in for this every year. It happens 20 days in a row, and it is an interesting experience to see the Fringe Festival, to say the least. The population of Edinburgh is 500,000, and 500,000 people come in, and it was packed. You thought London was packed? Edinburgh was packed because of this. You could barely walk down the main street. But it was fun to be there for it. It was interesting. We got to watch a couple of the street performers and some of that that was going on. We got to meet some listeners, so that was fun. And got to learn a lot more about Scotland and the way things work in Edinburgh. It's a cool city and a very old city. I mean, you walk around Edinburgh, did you find the same thing? It's so weird to be in a place where there's buildings that are 500 years old everywhere.
All of Europe is like that. We're the only place. And then I would go back and live in Phoenix, where everything's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
The oldest you can find. They're like, this is an antique building. It was built in 1992.
It does have the challenges. We stayed in a hotel that was in one of those old buildings, probably built in the late 1800s, and there's no air conditioning. And you could tell that the bathrooms were kind of fitted in wherever they could, right? And the ceilings on the first floor are 20 feet high. And you had to open the windows because there's no air conditioning.
My God. Could you please save that for first world problems? Oh, my God.
That was beautiful. So we didn't have to worry about the heat. But so that was nice. But we also got to go to the countryside one day. We got another bus tour out into the country, we got to go to the Highlands, which is absolutely spectacular. Scotland is just a beautiful country. A lot like Ireland, I would imagine. It's just green and gorgeous and beautiful. We drove by the Kelpies. Remember we've talked about the two large horse sculptures?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we got to drive by them. What I didn't know about when we covered that story, they're built right along the major highway. I mean, they're 50 feet off the highway. When you saw the pictures, when we saw the pictures, they didn't show a highway. It looked like they were in the middle of a field, in the middle of nowhere.
Did you stop?
No. Did they stop? They didn't stop, so we didn't get to stop. When we were on our way back, we passed them for a second time. It was pouring rain, so we there was barely even seeing them on the way back. But we did get to see some of the countryside of Scotland. There's a lot of sheep in England and Scotland. There are a lot of sheep.
Ireland, you too.
Yeah, wow. Sheep everywhere. I just couldn't believe the number of sheep. But it is so beautiful in the countryside. Now we want to go back to Scotland and do what you did and rent a car, not to drive in the city, because I'll never do that, but to drive in the country, just around the country of Scotland. Oh, that would be cool to do. But it was beautiful. It was definitely a trip worth taking, and everything went to plan except for one thing. Uh-oh. So we're flying out. Your husband will appreciate this. So we're flying out, and we're leaving out of Miami to go to London. And our flight was supposed to leave at 11 o'clock at night, because all of those seemed to be overnight flights. Yours was too, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're all red eyes. We get there, and the crew has not shown up for the plane. So they announce about 11 o'clock, we're going to be delayed by an hour. We actually boarded at 2:30 and took off at about 3:30 in the morning. So let me tell you, did you know what Jennifer's like? Keeping her up till 2:30 to board the plane? It was a feat, let me tell you. But and then nobody, I swear, half an hour into that flight, the entire plane was asleep because it was 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's
and
amazing.
Everybody was asleep. But British Air, they're well done. I got to give British Air credit. They feed you well. They feed you a lot all the time. And they're very attentive. Other than the seats being so small, I could barely fit in them. It is. And we flew on the big plane, the one with the upstairs. So that was fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we flew on the big plane. It was the big plane. And our friends on the way back got to fly in business section like you did, where you get to lay down and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they enjoyed that while we were in cattle, back in the cattle part.
Yeah, you gotta pay a little extra for at least the premium economy, which was premium economy was first class in the real world when we were going to London. And then business class was like Uber first class.
Yeah, with the.
And then we didn't even get to see the first class, which was in the front of the plane. And the business class was those lay down things. I mean, there's just people that just have no limit to their finances.
Well, I know the business class cost them an extra $1,000.
Yeah.
It was not cheap. And then our first class was upstairs, which I never did get to see that. I don't know what that was like.
Go forth and shop, okay?
How about we go forth and talk to our good friend, somebody we haven't talked to for a long time, Leslie Wiley.
Good morning.
How's the baby?
He's awesome. He's a pretty rad little dude.
How old is he?
He's 3.5 months now.
Okay, yep. What makes him a rad little dude? Let's be honest.
Yeah, what kind of personality traits is he displaying?
I mean, because I feel like at 5 months they start smiling. You know, like what is he doing to
Oh yeah, no, he's already he's just cracks up all the time. He smiles. He's very portable. You can take him anywhere. You know, the barn, the bar. I took him to Bonnaroo Music Festival.
That's right, you did.
I'm taking him camping. He's just like that great little stage where they can't run away from you. Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Communication is pretty limited to it's like, I'm hungry or I'm tired or I pooped.
Kind of like the horses. Right. Actually, you just described our relationship with our horses. Right.
It's very true. Very true.
The problem I found with the 3-month-old is you're carrying him around and you need to grab something. You just can't just set him down. You can't just be like, sit on the floor here for a second. No, because they're laying there a little baby.
Yeah. Or leaving him in the car. There should be a 5-minute rule for leaving your kid in the car.
Yeah, don't do that nowadays. You'll be in jail.
Oh my God. Still, yeah. It can be cloudy and 70 and just the perfect temperature, and you've got to run in to get an iced tea at the Circle K, and you got to take the whole baby out of the cage.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. Yeah. And then you walk
in. I could be in and out of there by the time I get this baby out of the car seat. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Well, I mean, aside from that, he is a rad little dude. So that's good.
He's a rad little dude. Also, good luck charm. You know, as we all know, I named him after, not after my husband, but after eventing five-star national champion, Setzerleg, Boyd Martin's mount, barn name Thomas, my baby's name, barn name Thomas, Setzerleg on the birth certificate, but it's, it's hard for a preschooler to spell. Yeah. So we're like, and then Boyd and Thomas went and won the one gold, double gold at the Pan Am. So,
Has he contacted you to thank you for that?
No, but I'm waiting. I've got my phone, on my nightstand.
I'm sure you're on speed dial. Speaking of which, something else that happened since we talked last is you're now the boss at Eventing Nation. You're you had to put on your big girl britches.
Yeah. Yep. Two months. 2 months after I had with my newborn baby, Jenny Autry, our longtime Eventing Nation gal, she ran off and joined the USEF Circus as the director of eventing, which is actually awesome. It's a perfect job for her. She's in Tokyo right now covering the Olympic test event. She's gonna crush it, but the timing was a little really?
So
now?
Basically,
now?
What,
now
what
you're
I'm
gonna get
hearing,
your dream job.
What I'm hearing is she's dead to you.
That's she's fine. Dead. She's dead to me. Until the next time I see her, and I'll hug her so hard.
Right now, though, we're mad.
Right now, yeah.
And if you're mad, Leslie Wiley, I'm mad.
Well, I can't think of anybody better to be leading the parade over there. You were destined for this.
We have a good time.
Well, that's
I love it. I love the sport. I feel like I'm doing a good service for the sport and the horses and the people and that mean a lot to me. So
we've been away for a couple of weeks. So we, you know, the Pan Ams were just starting when we left, and because they did so well, that means that the eventing team has actually qualified for the Olympics now, right? The U.S. eventing team.
Yes. We can all take a sigh of relief now. Yeah.
I mean, because again, if they had come in second, they wouldn't have, right?
They had to get gold or silver.
Or silver. Okay.
So, and so Brazil was won silver. And so they also won their, so they earned a qualification too. But the bummer is no Olympics for Canada. Unless they just something crazy. There's like a couple of backdoor ways that they could get qualified, but I don't think they're,
they could send individuals
realistic.
Though, right?
Yeah, they can still send an individual. Gotcha. So,
how did the Pan Ams go overall? What's the stuff we're not reading? What was everybody saying?
Yeah, I mean, it was apparently like just a beautiful event, a beautiful course. about half the field was about half the field got eliminated. Cross country.
And this is a 3-star, right?
Yeah. You know, I think I did the math. The FBI handed out a bunch of yellow cards after the event. I think
why?
One in every
dangerous
five
riding?
Riders. Dangerous riding. Public endangerment. I think one guy jumped the rope into the crowd.
Well, that's never good.
You know, continuing on after three refusals, that kind of thing. So
what? That's like super basic eventing. These are like professionals.
Yeah. I think it was just, you know, I think like, you know, a lot of the South American riders, they don't have the opportunity to get out, you know, like they just don't have the opportunity to get the experience that the North Americans do. And the course was alleged, you know, is like apparently pretty tough, and you know they were out there kind of scrapping it. So you know, I think it was a little.
Does
little
that make you two feel better about yourselves now?
You know what it makes me feel is like, you know, poor Alisa Wallace gets a card, and then everybody rips her forever, and now there's like a billion cards being handed out, and really, it's not like top social media news.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that in the defense of that not being social media news, there's been a lot of other news that have preempted that over the last couple of weeks.
Speaking
of which, some of that other news, we just heard a report from Devin about what's going on over at the Mongol Derby. Are you following it at all? Or it's been 2 years since you rode, right?
She still has PTSD. Do you cannot follow it?
Is it 2 or 3 years since you rode?
Just 2 years. Yeah.
So can you even watch it, or do you get shakes or what?
Oh man, no, I've been following it. I love that there's like a 71-year-old leading the race right now. Is that right?
That's what we just heard. Yes. He's a quarter horse trainer.
That's awesome.
Never rode endurance in his life. But apparently, as Devin said, he knows navigation. This year they changed it. Did you see that, Leslie?
No.
So what, you guys got a recommended course between the stops, right? Between the checkpoints. They're not giving a recommended course. So you just have to find your way from checkpoint to checkpoint as best you can. So that's why the dots are all over the place this year. Because people are taking their own routes. And apparently he is very good at navigating, and that's why he's leading.
Wow. I would have been a goner.
Good news is, this is the breaking news, is they just found your tack on your horse.
Right. 2 years later.
2 years later, the horse is
and the
still
pony.
Intact.
And with the iPhone back. Yeah.
How do you
the
feel?
Horse, the pony has its own Facebook account
That's
now.
Right.
He's made some Amazon purchases.
Yeah. I was wondering what that charge was on my credit card.
So how do you feel 2 years later about it now? Is your opinion changed? Are you looking at it in a different light than you were last
year?
You gotta
be glad you did it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm so glad that I did it. I always have been, you know, like, not that I would do it again, but, you know, like, it's something that I'll always have. And, you know, even, like literally when I was when I was like having the baby, like I'm in labor, and my doctor was just like, she was like, "You rode wild ponies across Mongolia. You can do this." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I can do this. I can do this." You know, so yeah, so it's
pretty cool. Your doctor knew that, by the way.
I mean, she's a horse lady, so yeah.
Yeah, for the rest of your life. Okay, Leslie Wiley, say, you know, I have a little anxiety, and sometimes when I go places and I look around, I'm like, oh my God, these people are like super better than me. And I get like nervous being around like groups of people. You, for the rest of your life, can walk into a party and be like, I'm the biggest badass here. Y'all don't even know. Just forever you have that. You have
that. everyone's a badass in their own way, you know, so.
Trying to think what mine would be, Leslie, and I'm not coming up with much.
Yeah, me neither. We'll work on it. We'll work on that, Glenn.
What's your superpower? I'm sure you have lots of superpowers.
Our only defense is we go away from this show for 2 weeks and the whole horse world fell apart. So we're back now, so it'll all be better now.
Yeah. No more.
We certainly have missed you, Leslie. We really have. We got to do this often. If it, not every week, maybe we'll schedule it once a month or something.
I would love that. I feel like my life is starting to level out. The babies mostly sleeping through the night now. And so it's not like I'm like, I don't know, is it nighttime or is it daytime? Or like, I can't form a sentence right now. And the baby's crying. And like, it seems like my life is leveling out and things are getting a little back to normal. So again, I would love to check in more often.
Good. You're under house arrest when you have a newborn. And so now you're finally like getting a little bit of time without your ankle bracelet. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Exactly. A little bit of a schedule, a little bit of a routine, but yeah, man, this is great. I love having a kid. This is the best thing I've ever done. So it's, I'm glad.
Everybody knows you and how wild you are about everything. So has your perspective on yourself changed since the baby? And Leslie's gone.
Oh my God. Did she do that on purpose?
No, I didn't.
No, I think she did it.
Leslie,
oh my God,
love,
are you back?
Are you back? We didn't hear your answer. You disappeared.
Bye.
Like, let me tell you about having a baby. Gone.
Click.
You were gone completely.
Thanks, Karen. Gotta go. Bye.
I almost think we should leave it at that. Yeah.
Thank you, Leslie.
Maybe until next time. No, actually, I don't know. I'm short on the life wisdom right now, but just trying to get through the day. But
okay. See you, Leslie.
Take care.
Bye.
That was awesome.
I didn't do that on purpose. That was not on purpose.
That was crazy.
All right, it's time for some of these. First world problem. First world
problem. First world problem. Well, let me remind you all that if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. That's just the way that it works here in these times. Okay. Now, these are all submitted by our auditors. If you want to submit first world problems, just be an auditor. On Sunday night, I make a post like, hey, what is your first world problem? And these are the real sad life things that these people have to deal with. Like Chelsea, for example. I recently moved houses, so I don't have roommates anymore. Yay! But it takes a whole 4 minutes to get to the barn instead of three. Girl, I lived in Atlanta, and I used to drive 35 miles one way. Hit you in the face.
Which in Atlanta took 4 hours.
So. Oh, yeah. Totally. You better go between the hours of 1 p.m. and 3 p.m., but get home quick. Leslie says, and this is, okay, my freedom is coming to an end tomorrow. I have to go to school. I believe she is a teacher. And let me tell you, Leslie, that my freedom is coming to a beginning. School is starting on
one more week.
Yeah, there are two definite camps there.
yeah, exactly. And I'm in the other camp. fall and school. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Bridget says, my mom invited me to like go on a cruise with her, but it's during the best 2 weeks of trail riding. What are you going to do? Cruise or ride your horse and get sweaty? Go on a cruise. Elena says, I bought a really cute pair of cowboy boots on sale at Horse Lovers, but I ride English. And I think she goes on to say that, like, she went and people made fun of her. Girl, I'm telling you what. I feel like I deserve a cute pair of cowboy boots and a cowboy hat because I live in Oklahoma. But I just can't do it because I feel like such a poser. I have boots, but I can't wear the hat. I just can't. I feel like I need like a gardening hat.
See, I'm the exact opposite. Like, well, I bring all my hats to Podcast Movement. I'll wear the hats, but I won't wear the boots.
Really? Why?
I don't. They're uncomfortable, number one.
I
have never found a pair of... I've tried on a million pairs of cowboy boots. I can't see how cowboys wear those all day. They must have screwed up feet.
Yeah, you know what, Chad? Like, my calves... Don't get like he doesn't like his calves after wearing cowboy boots. Like, you're such a girl.
Does he have cowboy boots, Chad?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, his farm. We live on a dang farm. He needs them. He just works in them. Huh. He doesn't like have fashion boots. Like, he doesn't go out in his slick bottom dance boots.
No alligator skin boots for Chad. No.
No. No. That's a plain brown one. Kimberly says, after a hard week at work, my husband met me at my car with a margarita, but I really wanted to ride hashtag decisions. Girl, as much as I would love a margarita, I'm the same way. I can't have a drink before I ride. I lose all motivation. But why was he meeting you at the car? Are you like about to drive home and he's like, hey, booze up before the
see the first thing I thought of is he was hiding something in the house.
You guys, get out. I'll go distract her with a margarita. Oh, that's good.
That was my first thought, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Oh, okay, so she came home and he ran out with a margarita. Yeah. He's like, hey, let's go. Let's take a walk. Let's take a walk.
And the boys' card game was breaking up out the back door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys, run. Take all your chips, poker chips. Joy says, I got a sweet deal on personal training for the next 4 months to like test a new fitness program for my trainer. But now I have to go to the gym.
Joy has this love-hate relationship with health.
Yeah, she does. She says, I have to go to the gym at 6 a.m. now instead of just pretending I'm going to go.
And oh, by the way, Joy is like the perfect specimen of a human being. And she's
super pretty. Carrie says, my friend offered me a free pair of breeches, but they weren't full seats. So like, I had to tell her, no, thank you. Oh God, that's great. Michaela says, I'm in San Diego and I can't go shopping for my new horse because she's only a yearling because I can't ride her and I don't know which size she's going to end up being. Dude, you know what I did when I had baby Zara and probably going to do this for baby Stanley is I bought a halter in like every size. Even though I didn't really wear halters, you just need like, first of all, you're going to need that halter. That's like the weanly baby halter and then a weanling halter and then a yearling halter and then like a cob halter. And then you're going to need a horse size halter. And if it's a warm blood, you're going to need to get a big warm blood. There's a lot of shopping to do. Karen says, our endurance Karen says, things go in threes. And here's mine. I'll abbreviate this, but she had to buy a new cell phone. And then her truck wasn't running right on her last trip to California. And so she had to buy a new truck. Poor thing. She's like, it doesn't work. So let's like get a new one. And then her computer stopped working. And so now she has to buy another computer. And she says, finally, that thank God her endurance horses have better longevity than all of her items.
Both her horses are like 20,000 miles. I mean,
they're in their 20s. Yeah, you can't keep the dang cell phone to keep it charged. Yeah. Bailey says that I've been in the mood to shop for some new riding outfits all weekend, but instead I have to wait to tell my fiance what I want to even buy them for my birthday next month. Oh my God. I get so mad at Chad when he buys himself something right before his birthday. Like, really? It's the only thing I knew you wanted.
It must be a guy thing. Cause I do the same thing and get in trouble for the same thing.
Oh God. It's like, you know what? We're just going to get you another dang.
Cause we're pretty confident you're not going to even remember it's our birthday, let alone get us anything.
Oh, well, that is a terrible wife then. I mean, come on. Kayla says my brand new horse went lame with multiple abscesses. So we worked through that and I got him some maintenance as he's older and now he's riding like a freaking fire breathing dragon. Meta says I finally gave myself permission to buy a new helmet. So I went to the local tap shop last week and they didn't have the one that I wanted. So now I have to measure my head and shop online. Dude. It's so online shopping is a problem. Mary says, I bought a new house and it came with a hot tub, but there's wasps under the cover and I don't know how to fix it. She says, quit laughing. you have a new, like she bought a new house in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I feel nothing for you in the way of sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Gotta be one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sharon says that a couple of weeks ago, Jamie talked about her smelly bras and all of a sudden my good bra got stinky. I had to use Febreze and everything. Jamie bewitched my bra. If I've done anything,
we're going to put that
show,
on your business card.
Yeah. I will bewitch your bra.
We are going to put that on your business card.
That and go forth and shop.
Yeah.
Danny's. This might be one of my favorites ever. And he says, I can't tell my husband that my new horse needs a new saddle because I haven't told my husband about the new horse yet. Glenn's like, that's too real.
Yeah, that's a little too, that is too real.
Too close to home. Rachel says, I moved my mare into a nicer, bigger stall but she went from living with all mares to being surrounded by super sexy gelding. And she's so busy being a floozy. I'm worried she's going to get dehydrated. I'm telling you, mares and geldings together is just a problem. It's just a problem.
Yet some people do it for the whole lives of the horses and it works out.
I know.
Fine.
I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand. Oh my gosh. We have so many submissions. I got to like skip it. I'll give you one of mine. Okay. Right. You want one of mine?
Yeah.
Okay. So this past weekend I was at a horse show and Ellen Doty Hume was there and she's like ridden in Rolex, like or Land Rover, you know, all those, several times. And she was down the aisle from me and she knows me through the shows. And she's like, oh my God, when we go to the retired racehorse makeover project, I want you to stable with me. Will you stable with me? And we'll like share a tack stall and everything. And I was like, oh my God, yes, totally. I will stable with you. And then I realized I'm supposed to stable with Elisa Wallace. And I'm like, oh my God, how can I stable with Elisa Wallace and Ellen Doty?
Oh, and I think you were supposed to stable with one of our listeners too.
Kayla's coming too. Kayla's in on it. Kayla's okay. Already in on it. Okay. I've already talked to her about it. We all, but I don't like the decision.
We're going
like,
to need
oh
one
God.
Big stable by the time you're done.
Oh my God.
It's like so she actually week. Listens to the show? She listens to Retired Racehorse?
No, she's been on our show.
Oh, okay.
Times.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't like people to listen. I just want them to be a guest. And then my other personal problem is, like, if you recall, I own 10 acres down the road that we still haven't sold. And it's like, I can't seem to get this 10 acres sold. So I ended up putting...
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
For new we listeners, still, it's been when on they the moved market. To Oklahoma, they bought that property and discovered it was a sinkhole. It was like full of water, right?
No. We couldn't build the barn before we built the house. Otherwise, it changes your tax code and all that.
You have to buy a property with a house.
You have to buy a property with the house. Other Norman laws, it's very strange and boring. I won't bore you with it. But so I was like, oh my God, I'm totally going to turn the horses out there. And so I put Pink and Demure and Duke.
By themselves at 10 miles away or whatever?
No, it's like probably... 250 yards.
Oh, okay.
Drive the gator down there. Okay. So I drive the gator down there. And like yesterday I pull up and I'm like, hey guys. And Duke is like, bring me home. It is 10 acres of grass and trees. And he's like, I can't take it anymore. Like he feels like I've like turned him loose and like left him alone on his own. And of course, Pink and Demure, like whatever. Duke, I have to bring him home today. I have to go take Duke out of a 10 acre grass field because he hates being in a 10-acre grass field, like, I want my barn! I want my stall! So, yeah, I have to move home today. Good times. Okay, so that's mine. Let me see what else we can get to real
we
quick.
We have time for one or two more.
Okay, I'm going through. You guys, just so you know, I marked all of these to write. They're all so good. Talk amongst yourselves.
I'm trying to think of what my first world problem would be. I had a tough time coming back to work this morning after 2 weeks off. It was hard.
That's okay. I overslept this morning. So.
She did. I get a text. I'm going to be a little late. I was like, she totally forgot.
I did not forget. I set an alarm and then I ignored it.
Can I say it's good to do a show again with you, though? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Longest we've ever been apart, actually.
There's no adults in the room either. Which
no, no producer. By the way, Jennifer's fine. She's out doing her thing, and Jemmy had a first day of school for JoJo, so.
Oh, I'll stay. I'll go with Haley's here. Okay. Because this kind of sounds like the last one. And then I'm gonna drop a bomb on you in a second. Okay, you ready? Haley says, I need a second horse, but my husband won't let me get one. But I already picked him out. Go get the horse. Go for the shop.
Talk to your friend up above on the list who never even told her husband. Maybe
yeah, I mean,
plan.
There's ways around this, apparently. So you guys, all these submissions were so great. Somebody even submitted that they couldn't remember them because we've been gone so long. So, you know, you make a list. Just keep a list of your first world problems. Also, I would like to point out that baby Stan Lee is weaned. He's officially weaned. And baby Groot's out with him, but Glenn, he needs a friend.
Oh, no.
Baby Stan Lee needs a baby friend.
And?
I'm just going to leave it at that for now. But there's things in the works. There's things in the works, and you're going to have to stick around to find out what I'm going to do about baby Stan Lee needing a baby Stan Lee friend. He needs another foal to play with because Zara turned out kind of weird. So I don't want her to be weird, him to be weird. He's like, you know, so we're
how'd the weaning process go? Was it a lot of screaming?
No, it was fine. I do it in a way of want to know, it's a really, really pleasant, happy way of weaning. So, just so you know, there's things in the works. Watch out, people.
Mm-hmm. Does Chad know about him, or is this one of those?
Well, I've been leaving little nuggets, little Easter eggs through our life.
God, we hate when you do that. All right. That's it for today. Tomorrow, Karen will be here with the Endurance Show. Jamie will be back Wednesday and Friday. And on Thursday, I've totally lost track of what Thursday is. I don't know what it is. It might be Karen. Or it might be Mary Kitzmiller.
Karen's tomorrow.
Yeah. So Karen tomorrow, Kitzmiller on Thursday. And Jamie there, too, with some special guest co-hosts. Jamie and I will be at Podcast Movement representing. And doing our best to make the Horse Radio Network look good.
I'll be here Wednesday and Friday, y'all. Stick around, okay? Love
but
you.
They
mean
will
it.
Be recorded, not live. Just wanted.
Hey, what did you learn today?
What did I learn today? I learned that when I was thinking about this when Leslie was on, when she started with us ten years ago, she had just started at Horse Nation. She was just started as a reporter at Horse Nation. And look now, all these years later, she's the big boss.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
so, amazing. I got to thinking about that. And what I realized is we've been doing this a long time.
You know what that makes me realize is that there's upward mobility in other companies.
Yeah,
in
not
the
ours.
World.
Yeah. No. It's none here. Sorry.
Not so much.
Yeah, you got a second show. I mean, that's something.
Is that upwards or sideways?
No, I think it's more sideways, actually.
It's lateral.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going backwards. So
I get it. I learned that I have some Omega Alpha shopping to do, and I learned that our listeners have a lot of very sad problems. So you guys, love you, mean it.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld. See you, everybody.